Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is using IBM tooling to improve your self-help abilities for WebSphere commerce. Today's presenters are Mike Callahan and David Lagumba. Mike and Dave are software developers from the WebSphere Commerce Support Organization. As a member of the WebSphere Commerce Support Team, they are responsible for providing technical assistance for the WebSphere Commerce family of products. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Mike and David.
Thanks, Joseph. This is David Lagumba. I'd just like to welcome everyone to our presentation using IBM tooling and resources to improve your self-help abilities for WebSphere commerce. Slide two, please. So this presentation is the second part of a two-part presentation. Last week we discussed do-it-yourself problem determination, and in this week we will, in this second part, we will introduce the different resources you have for assisting you with problem determination. We will cover resources that assist with things for finding answers to problems, getting started on tasks, and keeping yourself updated. We will cap the presentation off with a little bit of information regarding how to accelerate working with commerce support. As was the case with the previous presentation, this is not a technical deep dive into the actual usages of the resources. It is more to make you aware of what's actually out there for your problem determination process. Links to the resources mentioned in this presentation will be listed at the very end. Please turn to slide three. So as I mentioned, last week we discussed do-it-yourself problem determination and left you with the following points that you can see on the slide, some of them being any site can face any type of problem at any stage of the ballgame. Troubleshooting is about asking the right questions first. Traces are your friend, and importantly, remember what keeps your site unique from the out-of-box case, integrations you may have, custom code, etc. So the goal of this presentation is to take it one step further into how to resolve the problems that you do run into using the resources that we provide for you. One of these resources is us, commerce support. Please turn to slide four. So when you have an issue and you want to find the answers to the issue, it's important that you figure out what type of problem you have. As a side note, you don't really need to go to support immediately when you have an issue, as you'll learn. As you'll see through these slides, our goal is to show you how to enlighten yourself about problems and figure them out. So types of issues that you're going to be focusing on are commerce version related, what fix packs are currently available, what is most recent, where do I find this information? Or you may have a how do I style question, example being how do I enable and configure commerce payment plugins? Or you're just planning your site and you need some information on the different parts that you can integrate. So you want to know if the e-sites model is something that you want to use in the development of your site, if you can leverage it properly. IBM Support Assistant and IBM Support Portal will be talked about later, but as an overriding theme, please note that everything that we talk about is located in these two resources. Slide five, please. Continuing on with slide five here, let's work through a scenario. You're a first-time commerce user, and you want to figure out where to start, how to start, and exactly what to start with. Or you're not so new to commerce, but there's a new component or feature that came out, and you want more info on it. You want to know where to find this information. So this education and learning type information is located in the Commerce Information Center, and particularly you'll find information regarding migrating, installing, configuring commerce, as well as detailed tutorials on how to perform actions on these certain tasks. That'll link in later on to the how-to section. Along this same vein of general knowledge and more in-depth knowledge, we do have the IBM Education Assistant available to you. We will discuss this as well in a little more detail later on. But just to highlight it, it is a grouping of self-help modules on install, administration, customization-related type tasks. In addition to these two resources, there is text docs available to you from the product support pages. There are developer works articles, like white papers, which list specific examples and how-tos. And if you're looking for a real deep dive into some information, red books are available on numerous topics, and they will provide you that deep-down, nitty-gritty type details that sometimes you're looking for. Please turn to slide 6. It is always important to keep yourself up to date on commerce-related news. It'll allow you to be aware of any critical issues or updates or bulletins issued by the commerce community or the commerce group. There are things like commerce flashes that you can subscribe to, which are these actual alerts about critical fixes and configuration changes. You can also subscribe to quarterly proactive emails. These will make you aware of the type of things you need to be thinking about to ensure you're prepared for a season that's coming up. So something like holiday preparedness to ensure that your site is going to be able to handle the increased volume. You can also subscribe to RSS feeds, which will give you updates when APARs and tech notes are published. So you'll see what's happening right off the bat, and you can read it from these RSS feeds. Sometimes you want to know where the links are to certain information. IBM Supra provides you the IBM support toolbar. This will link into your Firefox or IE browser, and it will actually provide you the links you're looking for on all our products. It's not just commerce specific. They'll provide links for DB2, WAS, Tivoli-related information resources. Please turn to slide 7. When you're planning out your system, it's critical that you keep your stack up to date. And this includes including it in your actual planning of your product and your product cycle. Regular maintenance like this isn't just upgrading your system. It's ensuring that you properly test out the new features that you may integrate with these updates, or just the general functioning of your site, just to make sure that there's no surprises for you. Do note that fix packs contain numerous defects and fixes. If you're upgrading from one to another level, it may contain fixes that can't be backported to your specific level. So just to be a little bit more clear on that, if you're at fix pack 2 level and you need something that came in at fix pack 4 or fix pack 8, we may not be able to backport it to your level due to the size of the fix. So it's always important that you do leave room in your planning for necessary upgrades. Alongside keeping your stack up to date, you want to know how to access your version information and what type of actions you've done in terms of installation. So as you can see on the slide, I referenced the version info and history info scripts that are available from the product bin directory. With commerce, there is a concept of a product and an instance, and these should be at the same levels, but you always want to make sure about this. So be aware that they can be at different levels. You see in the slide in the center links of the paths to where the version information is stored. Once you know your version information, compare it to what's available online. Compare it to what Commerce is recommending in our Commerce Recommendations tech notes. This will ensure that you have any critical fixes or updates, or that you're just generally following the good practice that we recommend in this tech note. Please turn to slide 8. So you know how to track your version information, and you know how to get real-time information. But what you really want to do is flex Commerce muscles, so to speak. So these are the how do I type questions. So you want to know how to improve the performance of search on your site. Where do you look for this information? Once again, the Info Center is a very good source of information of this type. You just need to search on tutorials that are listed there, and odds are you'll find one that's related to the task you're trying to do. If it's not there, you can always also look in the Developer Works site. There are more tutorials there that will be useful for you. They're not the same as what's on the Info Center, and they're provided by different people in the field. Also, tutorials may not be the only answer for you. Perhaps there's a forum available, and we do have this in the Commerce Developer Works area. Leverage the knowledge of the Commerce community. They may be able to answer your question quickly. And as mentioned earlier, there are white papers and red books that deal with specific tasks, and these tasks might be what you're looking for. Please turn to slide 9. You're working on now doing something. You're doing something with commerce, and you run into an exception. Using the skills you gained in our previous presentation, you focused in on what type of problem it is, and now you want to see if you can figure it out yourself. Because you don't always need to come to support for this type of problem, search the Commerce Information Center in the support site. There may be an APAR related to this exception or task you're doing. There may be a tech note that describes how to resolve your problem, or it just may be general usage of what you're trying to do. So look at the general information target and articles. At the bottom of this slide, you can see I have a little screenshot from server logs. You have that CMN 9650E error. You can look in the info center to see what that error means. You can actually even search on the whole error. As you can see on the bottom right, that's what I did, and there's actually a tech note related to this particular error, and it may actually resolve the problem that you're having. Tech notes are written frequently by support and development, so as new problems arise, information will become available for them. Please turn to slide 10. Since information is available in different formats, people like viewing it in different formats. So we have the IBM Education Assistant, which I mentioned earlier, and as I did mention, this is a group of audio and visual modules for your self-help needs. They're very well organized, and one of the key benefits of the IEA, or IBM Education Assistant, is that as new features come into commerce or a product, associated knowledge and information is put into this site for your use. So there's presentations on overview of new technology or in-depth looks at particular products or components, and there may also be tutorials. So I just have a little screenshot of some of the things that may appear for your search. I'm not sure if it's large enough for you to read. But please do take a look. It's a website, so take a look at it, see what's available for you. Please turn to slide 11. I mentioned it earlier, but you're part of a greater community of commerce users, and as such, you can leverage the knowledge of this community. So WebSphere support technical exchanges are one way that you can do this, such as this one. So technical experts share their knowledge and then are available to answer your questions. Not just commerce specific, they're presented on numerous topics, on numerous products. The key here is the interactive nature of WSPE. You have the person talking to you live and you have a question, and at the end, you ask your question and the presenter will answer it and you'll be better off with it. Alongside WSPEs, we have the IBM Developer Works site. This is IBM's resource for developers and IT professionals. This is a real community feeling of commerce. It really comes in here. You have a commerce zone for everything commerce related. There's tutorials. There's forums, as I mentioned earlier, where you can search information. It really is a very good source of information that's not directly tied to support. You're asking the commerce community as a whole. Please turn to slide 12. Okay, so I've mentioned a lot of resources here, and a thing that you may be thinking is, this is a lot of areas to actually look for if I'm, or look into when I'm trying to figure out or find some information. So IBM has you covered here. We took this into account, and we created the IBM support portal. What this is a really, really good centralized location for all the information that I just spoke about. Being a portal, it allows you to bring in and personalize what you actually want to see. And it's not just for commerce. You have WAS, you have DB2. It's all centralized for your whole staff. And you can search right there for what you need. And it will link into all the resources I mentioned previously. So fixes, accessing Red Book, and even contacting IBM support is listed here. Please turn to slide 13. Here I just have a screenshot of some of the information that's shown in my particular personalized IBM support portal. On the left, you can see that we have numerous sections where we can search on. So troubleshooting, downloading, forums and communities, installation, you can categorize your search according to these to focus it better. And the portal matrix is evident on the right of this screen, where you see you have titles like services, support services, featured links, product news. A lot of the time, working in support, we get APARs that are easily answered or PMRs that are easily looked up on this site. Things like, when does this version of Commerce go out of support? What level or six-pack of WAS does Commerce recommend? Things like that. They're all available here for you, so you can take the PMR process out of it and find the answer quickly, because this is the area we'd also be looking at for the particular answer to your question. Please turn to slide 14. We're stepping up here. So you have the IBM support portal, and it's a collection of resources, and it's centralized. But it doesn't include the tooling that you may want to use for your problem determination. This is where IBM Support Assistant comes into play. It's an Eclipse-based UI that incorporates most of the features, if not all the features, available to you in the support portal, with the added integration of problem determination tools, automated data collectors, problem case management systems. It also allows you to work directly with your PMRs as well. Now, I mentioned the problem case management system just now. What this is something that will allow you to centralize how you work with your problems. You can upload files or link files into your case management, so a particular case or a particular problem, and you can run the PD tools that are integrated in ISA on this case, and the output would be attached to the case. Should you ever get into the situation where you need to move to a PMR-type workflow and bring in Commerce support or support in general, you can upload these files to the PMR, attach them to the PMR, so support has it available. They know what you've done. They know where you're at, and it will really accelerate the work with them. Being an Eclipse-based UI, you may not be able to install it on the server to run your collectors. In this case, ISA does have remote agents that allow you to connect to a remote server and collect the data that you actually are looking for. Some other aspects that are good and linked to what I mentioned previously are ISA has a media viewer that links to IEA content. So you can view IEA content and search IEA content through ISA. Some of you may have used Assist on Site. Well, ISA has an Assist on Site plugin, so once again, it's all centralized for working with whatever it is you're doing with a PMR, being looking for information or resolving issues. It's got you covered on all angles. If you could turn to slide 15, please. One thing I didn't mention previously is the search integration in ISA. The resources I mentioned previously, in the old case, you'd have to go to each one, do a search, look through the results. With ISA, you select the sources you want to search, including Google, and search, and all the results appear in one screen for you. On the bottom, you just see a screenshot of, on the left, of the tools that I actually have installed on my system. So some of them may look familiar to you since they are the ones that were mentioned in our do-it-yourself problem determination from last week. On the right, you see the dialog screen, or the screen used for the collectors integrated with ISA. Mike is actually going to go into a little bit more detail there. So moving on, if we could turn to slide 16, please. Being a plugin-based infrastructure, Commerce has taken advantage of this and created a Commerce plugin for ISA. So this is where all the information will be brought into one centralized location. So you can see APARs, fixes, and utilities. Unfortunately, we're unable to show a live demo in this form of presentation, but I do recommend that you download ISA and play around with it. Download and install the Commerce plugin, see what's available to you. So on this note, I'm going to hand over the presentation to Mike, where he's going to talk about how to accelerate working with IBM support.
All right, thanks a lot, Dave. Let's move on to slide 17. So we're going to shift the focus a little here, away from the tooling and resources for a second. Let's talk about actually working with the support team. So we've shown a lot of the PD techniques last week. So far this week, Dave has shown us where to go for information or some of the answers to the problems which we have learned how to pin down. What you can do is if you need help along the way, though, you can always engage IBM support teams to help. We encourage you, though, to try to work through the problem yourself first if you can. Also, try to find any known issues, whether by another customer or by yourself. If you actually take a look at the IBM software handbook, it's actually pretty good at explaining a few of the keys when working with support through a PMR. Some of the topics that it covers are how to define the problem, gathering the background information, how to actually get the diagnostic information, and how to determine the severity level. Severity level is of particular interest to us as well. That's sort of the business impact of this problem or this PMR to your site. This is something that we're going to hash out again and again through this presentation. And these four topics are some of the things that we're going to talk about in the coming slides. So when you are working on a PMR with support, there's a few important things we want to know. I list about 5 points there at the bottom. One of the key ones is kind of your deadlines or the impact of this problem for you. If you have a launch that needs to take place on Saturday night or a deployment you have to get in today, or if this is just something that you're just playing around with and there's no immediate deadline, we like to know these things as we're working with you over time as well. The impact of this problem can change for you. If it drags on, it might become more impactful. So let us know if it does change. We want to make sure that we're giving you the right support that you need. Finally, you can actually use the service request tool or the SR tool to manage your PMRs. So this is kind of an electronic-based management tool for your PMR system. You can open your PMRs electronically. You can update them yourself, request an update from us. You can see our updates. So not only if we're actually calling you or emailing you, but if we're just trying to work through something internally or talking with our development teams, you can see the ongoing work that's going on there. Also, a key feature is you can attach your PMR directly, files directly to the PMR. It's good in a couple of cases, especially if, for example, I'm going to be away next week and Dave is going to take over your PMR. Well, it's great if Dave already has access to all the files that you've uploaded already. Another good point, it is actually integrated into the IBM Support Assistant Framework, so you can click on the SR tool from the main page of the ISA Home. Let's move on to slide 18, please. All right, so I've just introduced the topic of working with support, but before we're actually engaged, let's take a step back and think of something even more important, and that's avoiding the PMR or the problem altogether. So odds are often in your favor that someone else has run into the problem before you. Well, one thing you want to do is make sure your company isn't one of those people. You can use the ESR tool or the SR tool to look up past PMRs for your company. So it's possible somebody else has already hit this before, or on a previous fix pack you ran into the same problem. So make sure you haven't already run into the same issue. If you are engaging us in a PMR, we do actually want to know as well what other PMRs do you have open currently, or some PMRs that you have open in the past. We can probably dig these out ourselves, but if you already know them, it's really good for us if we know of other issues that you've run into that could be related to this. For example, in the case of APARs or custom code suggestions we've given or some kind of configuration change, we want to know anything else that you've hit before that could be deviating your behavior now to the out-of-the-box behavior. Because as we mentioned in the previous week's presentation, one of our thought processes is, well, okay, how is your behavior creating a problem? There must be something different than the typical out-of-the-box case. So in the case of other customers running into issues, the support team is often going to document those solutions within a tech note. You can get to these tech notes from the support site, or, of course, we're going to encourage the IBM Support Assistant because it'll search across all resources. You've also got the Information Center, or ISA, in the case of how-to PMRs. So to avoid a problem altogether, do check if we have some kind of documentation or tutorial on the subject already. If you have already been looking at something when you're engaging support, be sure to let us know. We don't want to be coming back with some documentation that you've already read. I'm sure we do that sometimes, but we only know what you tell us. So if you've already gone through a whole tutorial, let us know, and then we're not going to come back with the same info for you. Dave touched on this earlier, but can't overstate it. To avoid the pain later, try to plan it out now. Or in the case of this topic here, avoid the problem altogether later. So you want to make sure that upgrades are in your cycle or in your path. Again, for example, if you're on 6-Pack 2 of Commerce, well, we currently have 6-Pack 8 out there. So there's countless, probably hundreds of defects that have been fixed. within those last six fix packs. So you really don't want to be spending the time trying to resolve a problem that somebody else has already solved over a year ago. The other key note that Dave touched on is we can't always backfit a fix for you. So if we fix a problem in fix pack 8, well, depending on the nature of the code change, we can't guarantee we're going to be able to give it to you back on fix pack 2. So you always need to think, well, maybe we're going to have to be upgrading. Now, to avoid the problems in the first place, the Info Center actually has a couple of real good documents that speak toward this. The first one that I'm referencing here is How to Improve the Odds of a Successful Commerce Deployment. So it's got 10 really good points there. I encourage you to read through those ones, but I'm actually going to be focusing on the ones on the next slide and talk about those in a little more detail. So let's move on to slide 19, please. All right, building upon the previous slide now, we've got a few more points on how we can avoid PMRs, or more importantly, the problems altogether. So another great reference from the Info Center are some of the best practices for a commerce deployment or the commerce site. Again, take a look through the 10 points we've got here. I'm going to touch specifically on a few of them. Point 2, for example, do not leave integration out of the original architecture design and handle it later. This one's pretty important. Obviously, the behavior of a commerce environment changes or could change drastically once you start to plug into third-party applications. Commerce certainly provides the framework to do that, but we need to understand the big picture, as we've mentioned, when we do hit a problem. So, for example, if you're getting slowdowns on your search or out of memory when you try to do a search, well, are you integrating with a third-party search engine? Are you using a third-party caching mechanism other than just Dynacache? Do you have edge caching in place? Do you have web services that reach out to something else? So these are the types of things that we want to know. So one, don't leave it out of your design. Make sure it's there from the beginning. But when you actually do hit a problem later, kind of revisit it and consider that it could be a part of the problem. Let's look at point 4 there. So this states, do not overuse personalization. So the next couple points I'm going to talk about are specific kind of to performance issues, or with the peak season approaching for a lot of sites, we care about the performance of the site. So the more personalization you have on your commerce site, more than likely, each time a specific user is hitting the site, it can't just pull that page or that fragment from cache. It actually is going to have to render that content and hit the database with a few requests. So you're going to be adding more connections on the database, more stress on the site as a whole, when ideally you want to pull from cache. In the best case, everything is being pulled from cache, so the further away you are from that, the more performance issues you could have. So to take this into consideration, personalization is a great thing, and every site should have it, but make sure you don't overuse it. Point 6, so here, don't leave any unnecessary and unwanted information in the commerce database. Again, with the peak approaching for a lot of sites, we care about the ongoing maintenance of your commerce database. So we touched on this last time as well as one of the main topics. We're stressing the importance of this database maintenance, but particularly old data you can purge out. So don't let your scheduler tables hit 12 million rows. If you have guest users who have abandoned carts, we'll purge out the guest users and those pending carts after some period of time. Ensure that the junk order is getting cleaned up regularly. You don't want that to grow huge. So again, just keep some of these things in mind, not only as the peak approaches now, but just in the general design and maintenance of your site. The last point I want to emphasize is the last one, point 10. Deals with testing. Don't reduce testing to contain the project launch date. So, of course, that in of itself is a great point, but the thing I want to build upon that is obviously make sure that testing isn't just tied to your launch. Testing should be ongoing even well after your launch. So any kind of code deployment that you're doing, make sure testing is in place, whether it be on hopefully at least a local toolkit environment, but some kind of QA environment so you can do performance testing as well. But one of the more important ones that we see is kind of overlooked a lot, especially with the peak season coming back, is relating to data load. So, for example, a lot of you might have a back-to-school sale coming up in September. If September 1st you're about to load 12,000 promotions, well, make sure that your production site is not the place where you're about to test whether or not your site can handle 12,000 promotions. You should definitely be loading those promotions and similar data onto your QA environment. See, as a single user and under stress, that you can handle that load that you can add to cart still in a reasonable time. And don't wait till the day before to test it, because there may be code changes that are needed, or you may need to actually trim down the data if it can't be handled. Let's move on to slide 20, please. Okay, so here we've got the topic of gathering the right data manually. So when working with support, more often than not, we're going to need some kind of data from you. Usually depends on the type of problem, of course. If we have a how-to type of problem that Dave talked about earlier, some of the things we're going to want to know are, well, one, what is the problem? What are you trying to do? What are you following to try to accomplish this, if anything, such as the tutorial? If you are following a tutorial, well, where are you at so far? What step are you on? What code do you have written up so far? Are there any screenshots that you can give us to kind of show us what you've done and where you're trying to head and what the problem is? So these types of problems are usually pretty specific to your use case. And more often than not, you need to actually gather that kind of data manually, unfortunately. Contrary to this, though, we do have other types of problems where it's actually the behavior or the results are not necessarily as expected, or you are actually getting some kind of error or exception in your logs. A little bit different of the types of things we're going to want here. Again, of course, first off, we do want to know, well, what is the problem? What is the error, the exception that you're getting, or what's the behavior compared to what you're expecting it to be? We do still need to know if there are steps to reproduce the problem, if you know how to reproduce the problem. Any kind of screenshots can always help. Often, we want to know kind of the big picture. How is your site configured? How is your application configured? How is the underlying commerce server configured? Again, especially once you get into performance issues. So can you send us your WC server XML, your Strut configuration files, probably the WAS server XML, so we can see your heap size and how many connections in the web container pooling you have. So these are some of the things that we want for this. 99% of the time, we're going to want to see your system out log for this kind of problem. We always like to check, as we talked about in the last presentation, do you have some kind of errors or exceptions? If we get an exception, we're actually very happy to see an exception, because right off the bat, I can see a stack trace, I can see the flow of the code, and I can see which lines of code are involved, and we can go look up the code to understand what's happening. Depending on what we see from that, we might want to know more about kind of the scenario as a whole or the flow that led into this particular exception. So this is one we'll ask you for trace logs. We want certain components enabled. And again, we showed you how to read through this trace log last week and try to actually pin down the specific part of the problem. And then once you've got that, that's when you'll take it to the next level with some of the tools and resources Dave has shown you. And then depending on what we find from that, there is a strong possibility that we actually want to kind of correlate it to the back-end database data, if possible. For example, if you're saying it's taking forever to load a certain product display page, or you get an exception on one of your item pages, we probably want to see the actual CAT entry data and maybe all the descriptions. Maybe you have so many attributes for these items. If we get the data, we can see what's happening. Usually we'll do that in tandem with trace, but if we don't have a trace or we can't get a trace on production, sometimes the data itself will actually be the key answer anyway. So it's also going to help us pin down the exact pieces of code, as I mentioned, but basically we want to get all this so we can know as much about the situation as possible. Now the place to go to get this information, most of the time you can go to this must gather document that I have a screenshot for on the right, and we have a link later. So this is the read first for all WebSphere Commerce products. It's going to take you through some things such as how to actually gather general information about your site, such as the fixed path level and whatnot, how to actually gather component-specific information, and there we'll link to actual component-specific must-gather documents. So that'll include how to get the traces and how to get the data from the database. And then it'll take you through how to actually attach the files to the PMR so that support can work with you. So let's move on to slide 21, please. Okay, so we've just shown the type of data that we often are needing you to get. Now, it's important that we gather the right data right off the bat. We don't want to have to go through the process, and neither do you, of exchanging a lot of emails or phone calls just to get the right data so we can start analyzing the problem. Of course, it does work both ways. Support side, we need to be completely clear in what we need from you. But then you need to be clear that you're following what we've asked for you. Either side, of course, can be incomplete. The goal is to avoid this tedious work, though, make sure we get the right set of data from you right off the bat. And to do this, we're going to try to automate this data collection. To accomplish this task, what we're going to use is the IBM Support Assistant Framework. So Dave introduced us to that earlier. And specifically, we've implemented automated data collectors within the Commerce ISA plugin. If you've ever seen the WAS plugin within ISA, it's actually got some pretty advanced data collectors, and that's where we're trying to head with the Commerce one. We'll show you on the next slide sort of the future of these collectors. But present day, to speed up the data collection, we do have a couple collectors out there already within ISA. It's going to basically ask you a short series of questions, then depending on whether it's a developer toolkit or full-fledged runtime commerce, we're going to go out there and get all the files we need off the bat, such as these logs that we've mentioned, the configuration files, and whatnot. So then you can actually attach these files. It's going to make one kind of zip archive for you. You can attach the zip to the PMR. Then when you engage support right off the bat, we've got a lot of information that we can already dive into the problem with you. From here, we're also going to be able to determine which fixed pack of commerce you're on, which APARs you might have, which features or feature packs you have on and enabled. As we've talked about before, it's very important for the support team to understand exactly what level of code you're at, because our code is changing a lot, the behavior changes a lot. We need to know which level of code we should be looking at to try to understand what's happening. We're also going to be able to tell off the bat from this collector any errors or exceptions you're seeing in the log. Gives us a good starting place, and since we have the basic configuration, we'll sort of know the general setup of your site. Move on to slide 22, please. Okay, so what I currently mentioned, it already exists out there, so that's the current collectors. But now I kind of want to show you the future direction of these data collectors. It can be pretty powerful. So it's actually Dave and I who are implementing these collectors. We're adding a little extra juice to the engine, so to speak. The goal is to make them a little more robust component-specific collectors, such as the actual runtime component. So it might be an access control-specific collector, a struts collector, catalog component, the order component, and so forth. Each of these will tie in directly with the component-specific must-gather document as well. So whether you're collecting the data manually or through the automated data collectors, ideally it should be the same set of data that we're getting. And now the goal is not only to speed up the initial data collection, which the current collectors already do a great job at, but it should improve any subsequent data collection that we need from you as well for a few reasons. One of the key features that we've put in there is the ability to gather database data for you. So we can actually, if you let us, we can actually extract the component-specific data from the database and we export it to CSV files for support to look at. For example, if you run into an access control problem, you run the access control collector, we're going to go and get all of your access control policies from the database so we already know the type of data we need. Next, new features, you're going to be able to enable runtime tracing on the fly through the ISA collector. So again, if you let us, we're going to prompt you and say, here's the trace string we want to enable. You click OK, you go off, reproduce the problem, come back, say you've completed it. We're going to go ahead and gather the trace for that period of time, which you reproduce the problem. So we have an isolated case with the problem, and then we're going to add this trace into the archive that we're making at the end. Of course, it's still going to do everything the current external version does. Gets all the config files, we'll still know any basic exceptions you're getting, we'll know what feature pack or fix packs you're on, and any iFixes that you might have. And finally, if you have the PMR number, it's going to auto-FTP the files to the PMR for you. Slide 23, please. Okay, moving along a little here, now let's take a look at another tool that's of good use to you. So it's the IBM Assist on Site tool, or AOS for short. Basically, it's the preferred tool for engaging support in a remote desktop session. A lot of times we see that customers do actually have their own remote meeting infrastructure in place. That's perfectly fine, but if you want to use something else or if you don't have anything, AOS is what we're going to recommend. So it's going to let support connect to your machine. It's just a small 500K plugin that you need to download in the browser. Of course, it's going to let us do a few things. We can see your screen. You can share control with us so we can actually do things ourselves. And you can set up a chat with us too, but odds are you're probably already on a call with us as you're watching your screen and discussing it. So AOS, we're finding it's really improving the time to debug a problem, of course, because we get to see it firsthand. Do note, though, it's not for every type of problem. We don't want to get in there on every type of thing you're doing. If you're just making code changes and it's not working, you don't necessarily want to come and see the code. You can just send us the code. It's great for us to see a problem get reproduced if we're not really clear on why or what is happening. But then more often than not, we'll gather traces as we're watching you reproduce the problem. And then with the specific scenario in mind, we'll take the traces back locally and then analyze them on our side. That is really good for config type issues or some kind of startup issue or any type of usage questions. For example, if you're trying to do something in Management Center and you're not really sure how, you can engage Dave and he'll come in and show you how to get it done. One other great feature is we can enable other IBM parties into the mix as well. So if I want my colleague down in Austin, who's the expert on this topic, to help, I can add him in, or one of our developers in China. We can add them into the mix, and then they can see the conference and interact as well. Slide 24, please. So we want to promote the usage of AOS for a couple of reasons. Pretty obvious ones, though. We want to help you, and we want to help us. For you, you're going to get to interact directly with the support team. You can show us your problem firsthand. It's probably going to be easier for you to explain what you're doing if we're actually watching it as well at the same time. This can usually lead to a faster resolution, and the explanation will be more clear, but also on the fly as we're watching it, we can sort of hash it out and try to work out the problem right then and there. And again, it is a secure alternative to a lot of the other remote desktop options that do exist out there. There are some others that exist, but AOS is one of the secured ones. For the support side, again, the main advantage is the same thing. We get to see the problem firsthand, but also we get to now see that we are ensuring the right set of data is collected for us to come back and look at after. We also, though, know exactly the steps that were used to reproduce it to create this data. Sometimes I want to reproduce the problem locally, but if I don't understand the steps or the exact steps or if I can't reproduce it, maybe I'm doing something different. So I've done it before where I'll AOS into your box, and then as you're going through a step, I'll do the same thing, and you can see where the behavior starts to deviate. And one last point I want to get at here, we can actually record the AOS sessions now. So this is a pretty powerful feature. We can play it back for ourselves if we need to better understand later what exactly was the scenario we're looking at, or if we need to engage a developer, well, we have the traces, but again, if they can see the exact scenario, if they weren't there at the time of the session, well, we've got it so they can play it back for themselves later. Slide 25, please. All right, so one last big topic here. We've shown a few of the useful tools and resources that are really going to help when either working by yourself through a problem or working with support through a PMR. But one other concept that's really important is being prepared. So you need to be prepared for whenever you hit a problem, whether it be some kind of intermittent one, an ongoing production problem, or even a problem that you have no idea is coming. So time is money, as they say, and you don't want to be wasting time trying to gather the data just so we can start to analyze your problem. Ideally, you're going to have the data collected either the first or maybe second time that the problem happens, so either we can dive in and take a look, or you're ready yourselves to take a look and try to solve your own problem. So over time, you're probably going to learn a common theme to your types of problems. Maybe if you have a lot of customization in the orders component, or you're really strong in promotions, you're going to start to run into a lot of problems on these components. But over time, you're going to learn how to understand the must gathers, or just the general types of things we need to know for those components. And this directly ties into being prepared when you're hitting a problem. So you want to make sure in advance that you know what we're asking for. What kind of files are we asking for? Where are they? Are we asking for your config file from the Commerce install directory, or is it actually from the deployed ear? Dave mentioned in last week's presentation in the performance section that, for example, if there's a hang on your site, if you open a PMR with me with a hang, well, I'm going to ask you, can you send me the Java course? We need Java course to try to debug a hang, but if you don't have any Java course, or if you never took them, or if they've been purged from your system, well, basically, we're going to have to wait until the hang happens again before we can get the data and before we can really start to analyze your problem. Similar to that, again, with performance issues potentially on the horizon, you may see some heat dumps. Maybe it's an out of memory, or maybe the site's just crashing. Very important is that you copy these heat dumps somewhere else and don't just dispose of them or don't purge them before restarting your server. So if the site crashes, restart your server, but then go take these heap dumps, throw them in another location before you dump them out. We need to see the heap dumps from when you get out-of-memory problems. We don't want to wait to see when you get another out-of-memory. Usually one set of heap dumps will give us the majority of the info we need to solve that type of problem. But if you don't get the right data, then it's going to be happening again and again. And one last thing, make sure you have access to the right people. So if, for example, you have performance problems and it seems like a database issue, maybe we need a deadlock event monitor from you. But it's probably going to be your DVA who's actually enabling that for you. So if there's a certain period of time, maybe it seems a scheduled job's running at 6 in the morning, well, if you don't have access to turn on the event monitor for that period of time, make sure your DVA is ready for you. Similarly, with the WAS side, if we need you to enable traces when the problem is going to happen or when you can reproduce the problem, if you can't do it, then make sure the WAS admin who's enabling the traces is ready for you. Let's move along to slide 26, please. So we've touched on some of these things in our troubleshooting presentation last week. We sort of referenced them as questions that you should be asking yourself when you work through the problem. However, if you do get to the stage where you can't solve it yourself and you need some help from IBM, these are also the same types of questions we are going to ask from you. So I don't want to go through the whole list again. We did that last week. But do keep in mind sort of the point I've been getting at on the previous slide. You may not know the answer to all of these questions, but you know we're going to ask them when we're working with you. So if you don't know the answers, try to get the answers as soon as you can or even before you open the PMR. But ideally, you've already asked yourselves these questions anyway when you've worked through the problem yourself, so hopefully most of the stuff is readily available. But basically, the main point of all this is the more we know, then the quicker and the better we can try to solve your problem with you. Let's move along to slide 27, please. All right, so that wraps up the second part of our series of troubleshooting WebSphere Commerce. So if you remember last week, we showed how to pin down the problems you're having. The way to do this is ask yourself the right questions. We showed you how to debug through the information you have available to you at each tier in the Commerce stack. So far this week, Dave went through and showed us the different resources or tooling, the different information available to you, kind of take it to the next step. And that is actually to resolve the problem or understand more why this problem is happening for you. So the resources we got out there, they're geared towards anybody. Could be a newbie to commerce, could be a savvy veteran. We've got tutorials and tech notes. The IEA education is a great place to start. The tooling, basically all of the tooling and the resources, though, that we've talked about is really centered around the IBM Support Assistant. If there's one thing you can take away from this week's presentation, it's the power of ISA. So it's basically the hub for all the resources that we've shown last week and all the tools that we've shown this week. It's going to help you work through your own problems, and it'll help you work with support on a problem. You can open PMRs through the SR tool. You can engage support to watch your screen through AOS. And you can also work through anything like these out-of-memory issues using some of the embedded memory tools that are within ISA that Dave has shown us. The key is to try to minimize the time working with support, but more importantly, just when trying to solve any kind of problem you run into. To do this, know your site, know the questions we're going to ask and the answers to them, know what else is going on, so always think big picture, and then anything else you think might be relevant, just let us know. And if you do have a lot of this information referenced in another PMR that you just worked on, just reference the PMR to us and we don't ask you the same questions. Finally, the tools and resources we have covered. Ultimately, the goal is to try to improve your self-help capabilities, but most importantly, avoid the PMRs, or even more so, avoid the problems altogether. Slide 28, please. Here's a link to a lot of the stuff that we've gone through this week. I encourage you to look back at last week for other useful references as well. The main one, again, is the top link, IBM Support Assistant. If you have not already downloaded the Workbench, I strongly encourage you to do so. No matter what you're doing, whether solving a problem yourself or working with support, we will make the claim that majority of things you need are integrated within ISA. So that's a good place to start. Slide 29, please. So this chart's just reiterating, again, a lot of the things that we've talked about actually specifically today. So it includes a number of links to sites that provide valuable online resources for WebSphere products. Developer Works has the in-depth technical information. The events link on the support pages will show you the webcast and conference information, so that's how you found out about today. Go to WebSphere.org for user group information and other product info. Again, we talked about the IBM Education Assistant. It's got self-help modules. Commerce has a lot of them. Gets the new users up the learning curve quite quickly. The SR tool for Passport Advantage clients. You can open, update, and view your PMRs online. Finally, we have the My Notifications link on all product support pages, not just Commerce, and lets you sign up for weekly email updates for those products. I just want to take the time to thank everyone on behalf of myself and Dave for joining today, and if you joined us last week as well. I hope there's some useful information in here for you, something you can take away, especially the focus is on the beginners who really need to start to understand things, start to learn the ropes as probably your first week is approaching you. We'll pass it off to Joseph now. I think he has a few quick comments. Thanks a lot, and on to you, Joseph.
Thanks again, Mike, for a great presentation. At this point, Pat, we would like to open the lines for questions.
So we do actually have two questions in the chat that we can address while we're waiting for the other ones. So Pramod Patel has one. Does AOS support multiple support personnel working on a single client machine? You can have multiple support personnel working connected to one AOS session, but if both Dave and I are connecting in, Dave and I will each have our own AOS client on our own laptops connected to the same connection code, but then we're both looking at the same screen on the remote customer side. So that it is possible we can add other support people. I think it's up to 5 different clients you can have in there. So yes, that is possible, Pramod. Dan has a question, where can I get the documentation for WebSphere Commerce 7.0? Very good question. Documentation is a key, but once Commerce 7.0 is released, which is in the coming months, the documentation will be made available. I don't have the exact date, but as soon as Commerce 7 is released, all the relevant documentation, including IEA modules and Commerce 7 ISA plugin as well for Commerce, that will all be available. So I hope that answered your question too, Dan.
And we do have a question on the phone lines. Raju Nalata, your line is open.
Regarding your ISA data collector, the enhanced one,
yep.
Is it going to be available sometime soon? It says coming soon, right? So just wanted to look at the time frame.
Yeah, we sort of glossed over and just say coming soon. The main goal is going to have something for when Commerce 7 is around. We will see if we fit it all back to Commerce 6. A lot of the features are already in there, but the main one is going to be in line with the new issues that we're going to face in Commerce 7.
Okay, so if I'm using Commerce 6.0, sometime will it be next month or so? I have to wait.
For Commerce 6.0, I'm not sure the exact date or plan as to when we'll backfit the enhanced collectors back to 6.0 is probably something in the plan, but we're going to work towards getting it in Commerce 7.0 first, and then we'll try to push it back to 6.0. So I can't say it'll be a month or 2 months or anything, but hopefully at some point in the relative near future we can accommodate for 6.0 as well. But there are external collectors already for 6.0. It's a little more general collectors, but in terms of working through a PMR with us, it's still great data that we're always going to need when we're starting a PMR off the bat. So for the initial data collection, the current collectors are very good for 6.0 as well.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for the question.
Thank you. And at this time, I show nothing further.
Thank you, Pat. At this time, we will conclude the presentation.